The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine, Audio Summary. Author, Michael Lewis, published 2010. Dubon Rating 8.4, New York Times Bestseller. Core Proposition: The 2008 financial crisis was not an unpredictable black swan. It was a story of a few clear-eyed individuals who saw the disaster coming, while the entire financial system chose collective blindness. Lewis tells the story through the eyes of several maverick investors who foresaw, shorted, and ultimately profited from the collapse of the global economy. Key Insight 1, the first person to see the truth, Michael Burry. Burry was an eccentric, solitary hedge fund manager who had previously been a neurologist. He possessed a rare ability: he actually read the documents that everyone else only scanned. In 2005, Burry began reading thousands of individual subprime mortgage files, not summaries, not rating reports, but every single loan application. He discovered a stunning fact: large numbers of borrowers had no ability to repay, yet rating agencies still assigned AAA ratings to the bonds backed by these loans. Burry did something unprecedented: he went to investment banks and custom-ordered a contract called a credit default swap, CDS, essentially insurance against the subprime mortgage market. If subprime loans defaulted, he would make tens of times his investment. Every investment bank was happy to sell him this insurance because they firmly believed housing prices would never fall. Burry's ordeal: his investors thought he was insane. They had to pay massive premiums every year with no visible return and demanded their money back. Burry had to freeze his fund and endure enormous pressure. But ultimately, when the subprime market collapsed in 2007-2008, Burry's fund delivered a 489% return to investors. Key Insight 2: How Wall Street Packaged Garbage as Gold. Lewis reveals a shocking fact in the book: rating agencies, Moody's, S&P, Fitch, were essentially hired by the investment banks to rate their products. The banks said, "Give us an AAA rating and I'll pay you. If you don't, I'll go to your competitor." This is a fundamental conflict of interest. Even more absurd was the invention of the synthetic CDO. Traditional CDOs bundled actual loans into securities. Synthetic CDOs required no actual loans at all; they were simply bets on existing subprime debt, repackaged and sold to everyone. These pure gambling instruments were still backed by the same subprime loans with no repayment ability. Goldman Sachs and other investment banks played a dual role in this process. On one hand, they issued massive amounts of these toxic securities and sold them to clients. On the other hand, they secretly shorted these same securities. Goldman Sachs was later fined $550 million by the SEC for this behavior. Key Insight 3: Steve Eisman, the Angry Short Seller. Eisman is another central figure in the book, a naturally cynical fund manager. Unlike Burry's solitude, Eisman discovered the fraudulent nature of the subprime market through field research. He attended subprime mortgage industry conferences and discovered that loan brokers didn't care at all whether borrowers could repay, because they immediately sold the loans to investment banks, and the risk was completely transferred. Eisman had a profound insight: when the entire financial system's incentive structure becomes originate more loans, earn more fees, with the risk borne by others, ultimately taxpayers, systemic collapse is only a matter of time. Key Insight 4: The Story of Two Young Men, Charlie Ledley and Jamie Mai. Charlie Ledley and Jamie Mai of Cornwall Capital started with only $110,000 and made tens of millions of dollars in the crisis. Their advantage was precisely their outsider status. Large financial institutions were too deeply bound by interests to make contrarian judgments, while two young men without historical baggage could watch this crazy market with cold, objective eyes. Key Insight 5: Why Almost No One Foresaw the Crisis. Lewis offers multi-layered explanations in the book. First, incentive structures were distorted. Investment bank executives knew risks existed, but before the crisis hit, they could earn hundreds of millions or even billions in bonuses every year. Even if the crisis ultimately erupted, they had already taken the money. Second, complexity became a cover-up tool. Subprime-related financial products were designed to be extremely complex, so that most investors, and even regulators, couldn't understand them at all. This complexity was not accidental; it was deliberately designed to prevent outsiders from judging the risks. Third, groupthink. When everyone believed housing prices will never fall, any opposing opinion was filtered out as noise. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan later admitted that he had overestimated financial institutions' self-protection capability. Practical implications. The Big Short is not a book that teaches you how to make money. It is a profound reflection on systemic blindness. For investors, be alert to financial products that are too complex for you to understand. Real opportunities often appear precisely when most people choose to look away. For business leaders, examine your organization's incentive mechanisms. If short-term profit and bonuses are the only evaluation criteria, then long-term risks will certainly be ignored. For policymakers, the too-big-to-fail problem and moral hazard in the financial system have still not been truly solved. After 2008, the scale of global debt has actually become even larger. Conclusion. Lewis, with his signature narrative ability, turned a global financial disaster into a hero story of a group of weirdos fighting the entire system. But the most profound part of this book is, those who successfully shorted the market were not geniuses. They simply were willing to read the documents that others were too lazy to read, and willing to question the consensus that others didn't dare to question. Full text ends here. This summary is optimized for audio narration.